Hi, this is Matt Welsh with Spiritual Media Blog, and today I'm here with Cindy Dale and Andrew Wald, authors of Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love. Cindy and Andy, thank you so much for being here with us today.
You're welcome.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here. Thanks, Matt.
So to get started, why did you guys write Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love?
Do you want to start?
I would love to. Well, Andy and I have known each other for a long time, as well as our families. I am a really good friend of Andy's wife's sister, and because of her and her family, became a good friend of Andy and his family's. And so we've had a lot of respect for each other's work. Andy is a therapist. I do energy medicine and intuitive consulting and authoring. And, you know, we've kind of over the years talked about, you know, the real nubbin of what people are concerned about when they come in for sessions, and it's about love. It's about the nature of love. What do you do if you're in a relationship that doesn't feel loving enough? What do you do if you don't, you know, feel like you're in a relationship so you don't think you've got love? How do you improve your friendships? And so over the course of the years of knowing each other and visiting with each other, we really decided it was time to share our collective wisdom and our research and talk about love, which is what it's all about. That really is what makes the world go round and our hearts spin and sometimes us feel really bad as well. And so we searched for a way to approach love and came up with the truth of it, which is togetherness.
Togetherness is really love in action. And with what we figured is that about 99% of the people we see have to issues regarding love or relationships. So we put our collective minds together and came up with a book that really combines spirituality and psychology, energy, and practical ways of looking at love and relationships and how to make them work.
That's great. I know it's got to be really rewarding to help people with that. You also talk a lot about boundaries. And
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and why boundaries are so important?
Yeah, I'll start with that.
Yeah, I'll let you kick that off, Andy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, boundaries are all around us. If you look with, you know, there's speed limits, there are no smoking areas, no cell phones, right turn only. There are boundaries. In relationships, there's boundaries, too. People misunderstand boundaries, though. They tend to see it as a keep-out sign, but it's really not. Personal boundaries are really guidelines. You have to look at them as guidelines that help define who we are and how we want to be treated. I mean, we are separate people. In the beginning of a relationship, it sounds like we're all very similar, but as the relationship wears on, it tends to show that we are very different. So it's a natural evolution that you are not me, and we're both right. I start with that with sessions. And if you don't create boundaries, you could be setting up problems like enmeshment with the relationship or abuse. Or it's like having a relationship with your own shadow. So saying no and creating boundaries are a really essential part of a relationship.
I like that, Andy. And, you know, I don't think we can say yes unless we know how to say no either.
Right.
I was working with a client today, a wonderful woman. She's in a marriage. They're working hard at their marriage, meaning there's some tug-of-wars going on. And the exact issue we worked with, even though I approached it energetically, was one of boundaries, where deep inside of her, she didn't know how to say no. She could say it with her mouth. She could say it with her words. But her husband, once in a while, could just, like, walk all over her or railroad her or get her to do all the extra work, you know, or wouldn't even necessarily show up on time because she gave off the message, no matter what her words were, that it was okay to be treated this way. And, of course, when she was growing up, that's exactly how she was treated. She was supposed to be the sweet little pincushion that was just supposed to tidy up for mom and be cute for dad, and she wasn't enabled to be her powerful self. And so her yeses, when she says them, are a little hesitant too. She doesn't sometimes even know, well, do I really want to go to this or not? I, years and years ago, worked with a therapist who was a spiritual therapist. She approached our work from the point of view of more the 12-step programs. You know, what's going on? Are you willing to open to your higher power? And she looked at me when I was complaining about the relationship that I was in, and she said, well, you just haven't quite figured out how to have a boundary on yourself. And I said, well, I thought spiritual principles were all about being able to be of service and giving of yourself. And she said, well, you can't give of yourself unless you have a self. So boundaries are very multiplexed and multidimensional. We have to have them inside of us. We've got to have them between the different parts of us, even. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be hijacked by our four-year-old, because that's kind of a really silly way to live life. We need to have them
inside ourselves.
Exactly, exactly. We need to have them between us and any partner we have, and we need to have them even if we're going to be attracting a partnership, because they're parameters, they're borders, and borders are important, as we know if we just read the newspaper every once in a while. They're kind of the basis of almost all conflict, aren't they?
That's right. That's right. I love what you're saying. I was thinking of an example myself that I had, where I had a woman from the Czech Republic who is married to a man who is Greek, and he wanted to kiss her all the time in public. And she put up a boundary. She said no. And he did not understand that. And as a result, they were able finally to talk about it. And that's the key with boundaries. You have to be able to talk about and explain why the boundaries are important. She was able to tell him that where she came from, if she were to kiss in public, she was thought of as a prostitute. So when he was doing that with her, it was very uncomfortable. He took it as a personal rejection, but it wasn't meant that way at all. And, however, when they were able to talk about it, it made perfect sense, and they were able to create a compromise, which I think boundaries can have. They can have, it doesn't have to be rigid all the time. It can be semi-permeable, where they were willing to hold hands in public, and every once in a while he could steal a kiss from her. So boundaries are sometimes rigid. You know, in other words, no hitting or swearing at me, that's a rigid boundary. But maybe kissing in public can be semi-permeable. So you have to negotiable.
Boundaries, I think people do think, Andy, like you inferred a little while ago, that they provide separateness only. But that's not really true. Boundaries also bond us.
Right.
You know, if I'm seeing somebody and we have the boundary around us that says we're exclusive, when he's traveling, I know that I can feel safe, that he's going to remember our relationship no matter what. And, you know, so much of the time, too, we think about love and togetherness and the boundary aspect kind of mainly in terms of our personal relationships or primary relationships and that all-important soulmate. But it's so important to know that boundaries merge us and provide a space in our togetherness in every relationship. In fact, my oldest son, who's now 24, and I had some pretty tough years, probably between 12 and 15 were the years he would say I was the problem and I would say he was the problem. So we were both very problematic with each other. I took him to therapy, and, you know, he didn't like it until we'd actually get there. The entire drive over, he'd be, I'm not going. You can't make me talk. We'd get there, and he'd just melt. And it was a wonderful experience once I actually got him in the door. But we got to a point where we knew each other so well that whenever he did something so-called in trouble, I would look at him and say, do you know what I'm going to say? He'd go, yeah. And I'd say, well, and I already know what you're going to say, so is there really anything to discuss? And he'd go, no. And we'd just keep going, and that particular trouble wouldn't come up again. There'd be new ones,
right.
But not
always.
That one.
Always. You know, as we speak, it's probably worth talking about where there are what I call, or we call, unhealthy boundaries. Boundaries are good, they're important, but they're sometimes they are not used in a healthy way. In other words, sometimes I think we both have found that people use boundaries as an exit, that instead of dealing with the relationship, they will say, no, I'm leaving the relationship. I'm exiting. I'm avoiding the relationship. I had one client that I had that he meditated 6 hours a day. And in doing so, he was not around to encounter or be with his wife at the time at all. When you too often choose a separate activity instead of interacting, maybe because you're afraid, then that's an unhealthy boundary. Also, I think your tone of voice, if it's defensive and off-putting, is an unhealthy boundary. There's all kinds of ways that people put up boundaries, like deciding that they will not have any kind of intimacy, or they'll say no out of spite. And you really have to get what the underlying unresolved issue is to deal with it and not just use a boundary as avoidance. I don't know if you've noticed that in your practice, Cindy.
I have, Andy, and, you know, it goes beyond the typical joke that a woman says, not tonight, dear, I have a headache.
Yeah.
And yet, isn't it, Andy, getting to that same place where sometimes what we fear the most and what we want the most is the same, which is intimacy.
Right.
And yet it's really scary to get close to somebody.
Yeah.
It can be very frightening. I spent 3.5 years, in fact, with a gentleman, and we just broke up a few months ago, and his pattern was to break up. That was exactly what, you know, kind of kept him feeling safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it keeps the other person off balance, and it kept him feeling safe was to have a boundary that said, well, I don't want to keep going, which would last maybe a day, you know, or a week or a minute. But it was a really bad habit, and, you know, after a certain point, I totally ignored it anyway. Like, okay, whatever. But it is what's underneath a pattern like that, whatever we do to kind of huddle inside of ourselves and avoid intimacy, it's exactly about that. It's about keeping others out, and we think somehow that's going to make us safe, but it really just
right.
makes us lonely.
Right. There's, as I've often said, there's no life in safe. There's only safe. And some people avoid having intimacy in order to be safe because they're so afraid. And they're afraid because they've had bad experiences in the past and they think it's going to bite them again. So they tend to avoid it at all costs. And another way that I've noticed through the years that people have avoided is that when they're children, there's a tendency to create an intimacy with the family and create a boundary between the husband and wife, and that sometimes goes on for years and years. That's why there's this double bell curve for longevity of marriage and frequency of divorce, where there's a lot of divorce in the first 5 years of marriage, and then it goes down and then comes up again around 20, 25 years. And that's because after the kids leave home, the parents who have created a boundary between themselves have nothing in common. They haven't worked at it and been conscious or mindful of their relationship. So they split because of that kind of boundary, which is unfortunate and unhealthy.
And relationship takes work. It takes work between us, and it takes work on ourselves. One of my actually most successful relationships is with my ex-husband, my youngest son's father. We've been divorced about 10 years, and we work at our relationship. We may be in different homes. We're not going to ever get back again together. And yet both of us have taken very seriously the commitment that we made to raise this child. And he has a key to my home. I put him down as my emergency contact. because if anything happens, what's most important is that my minor child and the dogs too, secondarily, get taken care of. And,
yeah,
you know, any relationship takes work. It takes showing up, and it takes not just the hard part of work, but the fun part of work, looking for the best in the other person,
right,
looking for what can make you smile, looking for what, you know, you can kind of poke at them for in a really nice way. I mean, I, for instance, Gabe's, that's my youngest son's dad, you know, kind of loves to tell stories about some of my goof-ups, especially in cooking. And I let them because it's part of our intimacy, and they're quite true as well. So we need to really honor the other person and look for what's enjoyable as well in order to so-called work on relationship.
Yes, definitely. I think of it as having a conscious relationship where you're very mindful of the other person. Sometimes I think of work as being, you know, like painful. Like, that's just me. But when I think of it as conscious or mindful, it feels better. And you know how I think love is shown, Cindy, is through knowing acts of loving kindness, where you know what the other person likes and you do those things. And I think that's love in action. That creates togetherness.
I think that's beautiful. And it is about showing that other person what means love to them, not
exactly
just what means love to us.
That's right. That's the knowing part. That was the knowing part. I had this couple where the guy was the husband was from Minnesota and the wife was from Haight-Ashbury in California, and his way of showing love was to fill her car with gas. It had no meaning because he didn't know her. What she wanted was to, you know, to talk about the stars, and
yes,
and he was very practical, and he tried, but it didn't have any meaning. You really have to know the other person. You know, in my relationship with Tess, my wife, that she loves coffee. So every morning, I don't drink coffee. I make her a pot of coffee. And she knows when I come home, because her office is in our home, when I come home, that I like her to get up and greet me. And she does that. Those are the kindnesses that I think that make a relationship loving. And
it is. It's wonderful. Yes, I know. I'm still in the traveling baseball years with my youngest. And I have to say, it does not make me happy to show up absolutely every night or five times on a weekend for baseball, especially in Minnesota where there's either rain or 95-degree weather. I mean, even last Saturday, there I was at 9 in the morning in the rain for an hour before they called the game off. Back again at 11, doing the same thing. But you know what? That's love. That's,
well, you know what else it
is?
It's devotion.
Yeah.
And I think that love is also shown through constant sense of devotion. And your son is going to learn about that and take that wherever he goes, that he's learning that love is about devotion and you do those things. And then he'll do those things when it's his time.
Absolutely.
That's a great lesson. So even though you may be uncomfortable, you're teaching him some wonderful things.
Yeah, I have a lot of clothes. I carry my hockey clothes in my car in the summer. So I'm often lending them out to the other mothers, too.
Right. You know what? I'm wondering if we should talk about our book.
Yeah.
I think we should do that. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. What are you guys hoping people will learn from your book, and what are some of the reactions you guys have gotten from your book?
Okay. Cindy, do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, the book is Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love. I'm Cindy Dale, and Andrew Wald is my co-author on it. And what I really want people to get out of this book is a beautiful and cherishable and practical idea about what love is, which is togetherness. Love can be so many things. It can sound so great or so trite, and therefore very either unachievable or, for some people, something just to be cynical about. But we can all achieve togetherness. We can all every day get up in the morning and say, I'm gonna get togetherness. I'm gonna get to know myself better, or I'm gonna get to know the guy on the bus better, or my bank clerk better. I'm gonna call my girlfriend and become more together with her. I'm gonna attract somebody I can feel at home with or together with, or I'm going to show my partner that I really understand who she or he is, and if I don't know, I'm going to ask the question. So I really yearn for people to be able to get a real body sense as well as a heart-centered understanding of love so that they can increase it in every area of their life. So to me, that's the goal of this book.
I love what you said. And the feedback that I've gotten is that it is a real heartfelt book. And for people who want more love in their life in a variety of ways, that love, and I think this is the basis of it also, love is infinitely achievable. This book inspires hope and possibility about love in any stage that you're in, whether you are getting ready for a relationship, you're in one and want more depth, or that you're getting over one and trying to move on. And it's a way of, it also shows how to break old patterns that don't work, create new ones that will, and new ways of thinking and feeling about relationships that perhaps you hadn't thought about before.
Well, that sounds great. I can tell you this book means a lot to both of you and probably touch a lot of people's lives. Where can people get a copy of it?
Well, they're in two places, Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble website.
Yeah, and it may be in your local bookstore, but Amazon's great. It gets things to your door really quickly.
Yeah, we the sales have been brisk. They even had a back order on it, but I think they've caught up now. I'm not sure, but it's been pretty popular already, and it's just been out about 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, and it's a beautiful book. I think it's a gift book. Buy it to gift yourself wisdom about love, but I think it's also a wonderful book to give to another. It's a safe book to give anybody.
Right.
You know, even if it's like a newly dating partnership or a friend or a parent. You know, because everything is about togetherness in the end.
Right.
It always is.
And it's really the cumulative wisdom that Cindy, who's had over 35,000 sessions, and I've had 50,000 sessions that we've had, and plus our life experiences. And so you have a lot of experience coming into this book that we've put into it.
Well, that's great. Well, I really appreciate you guys sharing some of your wisdom and thoughts with me here today. We have a couple minutes left, and so I'll give you guys the last word. If you guys have anything else you want to leave our listeners with, feel free to let our speak out now.
Do you have a last word, Andy?
The only thing I was thinking is that this book really does combine the practical, psychological with the energetic and spiritual. So it's really unique book in that sense, that of combining those different schools of thought. And, it talks about the four cornerstones of a relationship, you know, being together with yourself, being together with a current partner, being together with a future partner, and being together with community and source.
Yeah, and I think above all, it's kind.
Yes.
Because I think we are all better experts at love than we usually give ourselves credit for. We tend to look at our failures without even really acknowledging that those so-called failures, like my marriage failure with Gabe's dad, is really quite a success because of what's been gleaned from it and created and forged because of it. And so I think it's really important, if there's something for people to mull over and to ruminate on, you know, is ask yourself, what have been your true love successes? You know, how can you be kind to yourself about what a master you really are about togetherness, because we all build based on the idea of success and positivity rather than nitpicking ourselves to death. Yeah, we've all had, you know, relationships that have bit the dust or friends that were once and no longer are, but, you know, in and of itself, it's learning. And learning can always lead somewhere if we're willing to take that gift and hold it dear within ourselves.
Perfect. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, that was beautiful. So I will leave it with that. And thank you both very much for being here with us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for
inviting us. Thank you, Matt.
Take care, Matt.
Bye.
Bye-bye.